It's the state of Victorian greyhound racing and the stories behind the sport. This is RSN 927's Off the Leash.
It is time for us for Off the Leash on this Tuesday here, the 24th of November. And we're not far away now from the greatest night of greyhound racing in the world. It's Tab Melbourne Cup night there on Friday night. And also, of course, the Group 1 Bold Trees for the Stayers. Let's welcome in the Off the Leash team. Hello to you, Molly Haynes.
Hello, Gareth. Look, I'm just so excited about Friday night. And there are a couple of people or a few people who are saying that it is one of the best Melbourne Cup fields we've seen. I reckon I may have a stat to support that. Prior to 2020, only seven greyhounds had broken 29.20 seconds over that 515-metre distance. Three greyhounds broke it this year in the heat. So massive effort, and I can't wait.
I think, George, it's definitely the most, and this is only a personal opinion here, and people could agree or disagree with me, but I think it's definitely the most recognisable Melbourne Cup field since I've been following the sport, if you know what I mean. Like, there's more greyhounds that I think the people outside of the greyhound bubble would know in this year's Cup.
Absolutely, and I think the big tester for all of that, and good afternoon to you and Molly, is that a lot of these greyhounds also contested the Top Gun, which was hand-selected. So if Sandown had a choice to have some greyhounds in, I'd say a large majority of these greyhounds would have been selected by a lot of people. You know, the greyhounds that we've spoken about, and we mentioned it on Saturday, guys, that a year ago, Simon Told Helen won on Melbourne Cup Day in a Melbourne Cup sprint night race. Tigalong Tonkhead was fresh off a 24.90 win at Ballarat. And Shimmer Shine was injured after running second in the $1 million chase and then was very unlucky in the Top Gun. So what their line of work in the last year, guys, has just been unbelievable. And they deserve to be in this final. And Simon Told Helen, clearly the winner after the box draw.
Yeah, box number two for Simon Told Helen. And Molly, they tell me it was a successful night. Punting-wise, turnover has never really been bigger in the sport of greyhound racing at the moment.
Absolutely. All reports is that it was a fantastic night from Tab and punters all alike. And what I've loved, I suppose, listening to from Tab and Trent Langscale the most is the pre-noms all-in bets and when they were placed. I went back through and had a look at some of the big bets that were placed and when they were put on. I mean, there was some money on Hardstyle Rico straight after his Top Gun win, and Tommy Shelby just before his Perth Cup consolation win, and Shimmer Shine after he broke the track record. So it's really interesting to go back and have a look when these punters were switching on and thinking about the Melbourne Cup.
It has been a wonderful month of greyhound racing, starting off at the Meadows, and then, of course, it'll finish up there at Sandown Park Friday night. The highlight there being the Group 1 Tab Melbourne Cup, the greatest race when it comes to greyhound racing. Let's dissect this field now, George and Molly. We'll go through and have a chat about each and every runner because they deserve to have their time in the sun when it comes to after winning their way into a Tab Melbourne Cup. Sipping Sullivan, it was great to see Deb Coleman straight after that race, Molly. She's always emotional, but she was over the moon after her greyhound was the final dog to get into this year's great race.
Absolutely. And what I loved the most when we did the box draw on Sunday, she said the one thing that Rob, her partner, had asked her to do was pick box one, and that's exactly what she did for Zipping Sullivan. And look, they know they're going in it at a long shot, but then at the same time, I think there's been 17 winners thanks to Mick Floyd and his stats that have come out of box one, so you've got to think that's in your favour there. But Deb Coleman, she's always emotional after these greyhounds go around, and it's just so good to see how raw I suppose she is. It's just fantastic to see.
What about Simon Told Helen, Georgie? Do you think he'll start shorter than $2.50?
Probably because of his opposition. I think that might be the right price. Just quickly, I spoke to owner Camo Helen and in regards to Zipping Sullivan, and their only hope of finishing top three was to draw the inside. His splits last week were 5.06 and 18.75, which are really good. So clearly he's not in the class of Simon Told Helen, but that gives him an opportunity. But yeah, look, with Simon Told Helen, could have got $5 on Saturday, Garrison, and we both mentioned that even after the box draw, you're probably not going to get $5 for him. And the way the box draw panned out, you'd be absolutely whistling Dixie right now for Simon Told-Hallett. A, because he's drawn closer to the fence, which we've seen that head on in the Silver Bullet where he was looking to dive in. But B, he's got greyhounds, especially on his outside, that he should be able to outpace and get to that first corner in a good position. So, yeah, look, I don't think Connections could be happier.
Okay, then we'll have a chat about Tough Tears, Robbie Britton. He hasn't won a Tab Melbourne Cup, which is hard to believe, and Tough Tears is at 50-1, Molly. But the way that he has been jumping his last couple, if, say, Simon Told-Hallett and Tigalong Tonk and Shimmer Shine go to war, is he a chance of causing an upset, or do you think he had his birthday there last week regarding getting into a Tab Melbourne Cup?
Look, I think Tough Tears is a really, really interesting runner for me in this Melbourne Cup, and purely because of that fantastic head-on vision we got to see last week in the heats. He cut so hard left towards the fence, and a really big concern for me is if he does jump as well as he did last week and he happens to catch Simon Told-Hallett, and therefore maybe opening up the race for greyhounds on his outside a little bit. Look, I know he is inconsistent out of the boxes, and we could be saying that, that is the scenario that could play out. But it's just something that's been going through my mind the more I watch the heats over and dissect this box draw. So I do think he's a really key contender. Whether he can win it or not, I'm not sure. He deserves to be in the race. He won it so well, his heat. But I do think it is going to be on the harder side for him.
Is he the strongest greyhound in the race with his run home, Georgie?
Oh, look, yeah, based on what he's done, his line of work over 600 and even 700 metres, the issue I have with him is that he, even though he began well last week, and it was a gutsy win, and you don't fluke winning Melbourne Cup heats, he does have a bit of a flat spot down the back, and that's where a couple of these other greyhounds can really open up on him. I understand Molly's point too, where he needs to try to, Simon Told-Hallett needs to try to keep out of his way. Unbelievably, he's had a few starts over 500 metres and never been really able to break the 5.10 mark at the Meadows and Sandown, especially more recently, and he's done it 2 weeks in a row. So, I mean, if you want to come into a series showing your best early, he's found the right time to do it. But I'm going to find it tough with all the speed and the apex on that first corner where he's going to be sitting, even though he has been beginning well.
This is Off the Leash with Gareth Hall, Molly Haynes and George Ferrugia. We're looking forward to Friday night's big night, Tab Melbourne Cup night. We're having a look through the runners here. And the next greyhound that we'll have a chat about is Lucy's Milo for the Daily team. And he was an upset winner there in his heat. And he had box number one, Georgie, on that night. He gets box number four. He would probably need a miracle and a half to win this year's Tab Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, look, I think he has been an absolute warhorse. I think that's the best way to describe him. He clicked over to over $200,000 in prize money with his Melbourne Cup heat win. But, look, he's just getting on a little bit. He's going to be 4 years of age, I think, a week before the Melbourne Cup is run. Oh, look, he was good in his heat win. I thought Jim Zardashian was looming and was going to win that race, all ends up there on Friday night, but he just kicked Lucy's Milo right at the end and won. But yeah, look, big odds for mine for a greyhound who's been a terrific dog by Dinah Double One out of Lucy Wise, who was a terrific stayer in America before she was purchased for Australian racing, and she showed her wares over the half mile when she came to Oz.
All right then, so Lucy's Milo's at a big price. Molly, what about Hardstyle Rico? He's probably racing in career best form, and it's the right time to be hitting his best form. He's at $5. He's drawn box number five. He probably wanted the pink box. Do you give him any chance on Friday night?
Without a doubt. If the Hardstyle Rico we know and love turns up on Friday night, he has every chance of taking this one. He's got the fast times on the board. Like you mentioned, box eight would have been a lot better for him. But I think Lucky was still quite optimistic. But what I love most about Hardstyle Rico is pretty much, I suppose, the connections to him. So he's bred by Lucky and his partner as well. And they've also got a young family. We talk about, you had a fantastic interview with Corey Grenfell during the week, Gareth, about what it would mean for him and Sam's young family to win a Melbourne Cup. Well, Lucky's in a very similar position. He's got a young baby, I believe it could be under 1 year, 1 years of age, 1 year of age, I should say. And you just think that would be a life-changing amount of money if Lucky and Hardstyle Rico could possibly take out this Melbourne Cup.
He's been in brilliant form the last 3 weeks, especially George. He gets box number five and he's got to cross Simon Todd-Helen, but the way that he's been beginning of late, he would probably be confident, Lucky, that he could hold out, say, Shimmer Shine and Tigalong Tonk at the start.
Yeah, that's going to be the hope for him. And the good thing is the Greyhounds drawn in 6, 7 and 8. They're not known to want to crash to the fence. You know, Tigalong Tonk, Shimmer Shine and Tommy Shelby, they just use a little bit of the track and they get around. They're just pros, those dogs. Interestingly, he's had one start off box five in his career in Victoria, and that resulted in a 29.63 romp at the Meadows. So maybe likes the yellow. Maybe yellow is his colour because, like you said, he's racing in unbelievable form. His heat win was fantastic. 5.02 when he won that silver bullet. That was what was needed to defeat Simon Todd-Helen. Simon Todd-Helen was looking towards the fence, albeit, but still, as you said, as Molly alluded to, if the best Hardstyle Rico turns up, he's in this race up to his ears.
All right, then Tommy Shelby. They tell me a whisper was heading around WA of recent times. Now he's at $7 and $1.80 that Steve Withers was considering scratching him from the Melbourne Cup heats after he finished fourth there at the Meadows on that Saturday night before the Melbourne Cup heats. And I think he's pretty happy that he didn't, Molly, because Tommy Shelby was... It was Tommy Shelby at his best. He muscled his way through and then he ran time and he proved that he deserves to take his place in this year's TAB Melbourne Cup.
There are plenty of people out there, and you know, I'm probably included, who can sometimes think that Victorian greyhounds are the top echelon of greyhounds in the world, really. And coming over here, whether you're from New South Wales, WA, South Australia, or wherever, that you're stepping into a different class of dog. And I think that would have been running through Steve's mind after the Top Gun, but his effort on Melbourne Cup heat night was enormous. He pushed through where he almost didn't deserve to push through. It was a brave victory. It didn't just fall in his lap. So I think that, Steve would be very, very happy with his decision to keep him in this Melbourne Cup field. And how amazing, if Tommy Shelby does win, it's going to be over 20,000 to Movember with that 5% share out of his prize money. So that is another reason why everyone should be getting behind Tommy Shelby on Friday night.
He just needs to jump, Tommy. He can be hit and miss, Georgie, but if he jumps, he won't be far away.
Yeah, and you make a valid point about his chasing prowess. He did that in the $1 million chase heat too. He bumped early and he showed that he really wanted it. That's, I think, his number one asset, apart from his speed, Tommy Shelby. That's the query I've got, Gareth. His last three runs here in Victoria, he's gone 5.09, 5.13 and 5.08. And in a normal grade five, you're probably going to lead or be very handy to the lead with those runs, but not when you're up against Simon Todd-Helen, Hardstyle Rico, Tigalong Tonk, Shimmer Shine. That's his issue. He just needs to nail that start, especially from box six. It has not done him any favours whatsoever. So, there's going to have to be some reversal from his work out of the traps for me to see him winning this race.
Let's have a chat about our greyhound here, RSN Central's very own Shimmer Shine. He finally broke through for his first Group 1 in that Top Gun there at the Meadows recently, and he was sensational to kick off the TAB Melbourne Cup heats last Friday night when he led all of the way. Box number 7. He's always struggled when he's had a good greyhound like a Simon Todd-Helen drawn to his inside. Molly, somehow in some way, needs to find something at the start to cross Simon Todd-Helen.
Look, Gareth, I think if you're on course cheering him on through your coverage, I think that might be the little added bonus that he might need, that support from RSN to really, really bring him over the line. But look, he's a freak in his own right, Shimmer Shine, and I'm so, so glad he made it in the field. I know that Tom and Andrea Daly would have much preferred to see him drawn on the inside so he didn't have to work as hard as he's going to have to from the outside of the track. I think a lot of Melbourne Cup winners have come from the inside of the track. So I think being drawn out wide is just going to make that little bit harder, but it's just so hard to discount him because he does really have that speed to take out a Melbourne Cup, and there's plenty of dogs in the field who I think could be winning it, but I just am struggling to see, I suppose, how he can possibly overcome box seven.
Georgie, surely you think Shimmer Shine's a chance in this year's Tab Melbourne Cup?
I know. How dare Molly? We
cut her off straight away after that, didn't we?
Unbelievable. The timing of the Hillsville race was apt, mate. But no, look, I understand where Molly's coming from because if Simon Tolhallen gets underneath him, and as we said, it's going to be 31 degrees, the track's going to be spot on, it's going to be conducive to really fast times, and it's really hard to go past greyhounds that are going to be running 29.2. But look, he'll elevate himself into absolute champion status if he does it. And sometimes when they win their first Group 1, even though the greyhounds don't know they're in it, the floodgates can open a bit. We've seen it with Black Opium. It was always question marks. Can she win a Group 1? Can she? And then she ended up winning a few. So maybe Shimmer Shine is leaving his run late. It'll be interesting to see the call on Shimmer Shine and a few of these other greyhounds on whether maybe they go to stud. Do they kick on after the Hobart 1000 and perhaps the Australian Cup Carnival? They're not getting on in age, but they're around three and a bit years of age. So hopefully it's not the last we see of some of these greyhounds. But you can't discount him, but no, I think the box draw hasn't done him any favours whatsoever.
And Tigalong Tonk, box number 8, Molly Corey Gredden, fell over the moon with his star greyhound. He says probably the next 6 months you'll see the best of this dog, and he's racing in scintillating form at the moment. He dominated the shootout. He was the roughest out of the four greyhounds there, and then he was the quickest qualifier for this year's Tab Melbourne Cup.
He sure was, and what a monster effort it was to win that Melbourne Cup heat. I think that people really underestimate confidence when it comes to these greyhounds racing around. They don't have the jockeys on their back to, I suppose, help them along in the race. It's really down to them as soon as they come out of the boxes. And I think the shootout was possibly the best race for Tigalong Tonk to win. And he got the room. He didn't have a bumping duel like he had in the Geelong Cup or Geelong Cup heats. He just had everything his own way, and it just showed exactly what he could do. And I think he's potentially going to be able to use box 8 to his absolute advantage. I know I said that a lot of the Melbourne Cup wins have come from the inside, but I think if anyone enjoys the room, it's Tigalong Tonk. And we know that after recording the fastest heat time, he's certainly got the pace to pick this one up. But I do think it is going to be a little on the challenging side. Although, look, to tell you the truth, I'm finding it hard to figure out who to celebrate because there are so many great stories. I think I'm going to be cheering anyone on who's winning this Melbourne Cup.
Georgie, there's a strong argument to suggest there's no better greyhound in form than Tigalong Tonk in this country at the moment.
Yeah, look, that's a fair call. And more importantly, he's clearly my second pick for the race. Stats don't lie sometimes. His last six runs over box 8, he's won 5 of them and run second one. Amazingly, that time he did run second off box 8 was against Hardstyle Rico. I loved his box 8 win at Geelong in the Geelong Cup heat. He was fantastic that day. He just used his brains and stayed out wide and then cut across when he needed to. If he just begins cleanly, we'd love to see a race where a couple of these are just going hammer and tong down the back. And I think if there is going to be an upset in the race, I think Tigalong Tonk will be it.
Okay, so I know it's nice and early, Molly, and you've got a few favourites there in this year's Tab Melbourne Cup field, but who are you tipping on top?
I really can't go past Simon Tolhallen. I think that great dogs step up to against other great dogs. And I just think that he's probably going to just miss Tough Tears, despite me, having almost nightmares that Tough Tears is going to potentially take that off Simon Tolhallen. But I think he's just going to be too good in this Melbourne Cup field.
All right then, Georgie.
Yeah, Simon Tolhallen on top from Tigalong Tonk, who I think he's the real dark horse in this race from where he's drawn. But the theory was in the Top Gun that if you reverse the boxes, Simon Tolhallen would have beaten Shimmer Shine. Now he gets his opportunity to prove that when the boxes are reversed, where he's closer to the fence, and I think he can become our $8 million greyhound.
All right then, so yeah, can't wait for the Tab Melbourne Cup on Friday night. The other feature event is the Group 1 Bold Trees. It's $100,000 to the winner there, and You've got Sunset Burbski at $10. Sweet as Em, that was impressive in a solid time there last Friday night to win her heat at $8 for Brendan Purcell. Elias Bale at 40-1. Blazing Cartier at 5.50. She was superb to win her heat. He Shall Power at 20-1. Houdini Boy at $1.80. Sir Truculent at $8. And then Manila Knight at $8 here, Molly. Do you have an opinion in the Group 1 Bold Trees for the stays?
I think Houdini Boy is going to be hard to beat, but I do like the chances of Sweet as M. Now, it was her first start over the 700 in about 20 months. So we're talking a long time since she stepped up to that staying journey after a couple of little injury woes. But she did it so well. I think the inside draw is going to suit her as well. And I think there's plenty of juicy odds about Sweet as M with Tab. So I think she may be the bit of the smoky in this Bold Therese field.
George?
And wouldn't it be a terrific story for trainer Brendan Purcell? Of course, he took out the Group 1 Sandown Cup with Bronski Beat earlier this year. If he was to take out the other Group 1 staying feature at Sandown Park, it would be an amazing training performance. Look, I've been on Houdini Boy's hammer for a while, and I'm not going to jump off now. He's going to have to navigate his way through some traffic. We all know that with him, but I just think he's the class runner of the race. If I was Connections, I'd be a little bit concerned about Sunset Burbski because I've seen glimpses of her sort of getting back to somewhere near her best last week. She was a good run. And I thought Manila Knight was great having his first 700 metres at Sandown. And I don't think E-Mine's being drawn out where he is as well. He's got enough speed to really give them something to chase too. So it's certainly not a fait accompli for Houdini Boy. But he's just got that X factor, doesn't he? He's so exciting. I think he got to the front so early too, Molly, didn't he, last week, that he wouldn't have been in that position too often in his career. He's going to have to work a little bit harder to find the top, I think, this week. And sometimes that might play into their favour. They time their run a little bit better.
All right, then. So Houdini Boy still the most exciting greyhound, would you say, in this country at the moment, Georgie? Is that a little unfair, say, on greyhounds like Shimmer Shine and especially Simon Told Helen, who's probably been the standout sprinter all year? But I think there's something about this Houdini Boy that people in the pubs are talking about these days.
Yeah, one's an exciting midfielder and another one's a brilliant full forward, in a sense that those guys, you're always looking up at the clock when Shimmer Shine and Simon Told Helen run. Houdini Boy, just visually, pardon me, it's incredible because he gives them a start and usually a beating. And his run home times over 600 have been outstanding. And I just think, barring injury, he could be the dominant stayer for the next year.
Okay, so, yeah, $1.80, is that too short for you, George?
A little bit. He's won one race over the 700. A couple of these are big performers, including Sunset Burbski, but I can understand it in saying that as well, because I think even though there wasn't much between them on the clock in the heat, I think just the X factor he'd bring, I think he's clearly the fastest greyhound in the race. But I was hoping for about the 220 mark. He might blow out for that as we get along.
And Molly, you mentioned that that there are some greyhounds like Sweet as Am hasn't had a start, or that was its first start there for a long time over the trip. But Houdini Boy, that was his first ever go at Sandown over that trip. How much improvement do you see from greyhounds after have that? I know that he had a run at the Meadows over the 700 before that, but you would imagine that he would get better from that heat victory.
Look, absolutely. I think the big question is, though, is he going to be a front-running stayer or is he going to be a stayer that comes from behind? I think he showed us that he could lead a staying fielder. I think that probably was an indicative because he came in on the fresher side, having only had one start before that that Bold Therese heat over the 600. So he was on the fresher side, therefore you're probably going to see him jump in front. But I'm just interested to know which way he's going to run his staying races in the future, because I do know he's going to be one of the greats. But Manila Knight too, I know George quickly touched on him. This is a greyhound who broke the 650-metre track record at Shepparton only a couple of starts ago. And I did talk to Mario Baganti after the races on Friday night, and he did seem to think that this greyhound, because it was in the later races, I think it was race 11 that Manila Knight went around in, that he did lose a couple of lengths in the kennels. So being an earlier race, adding a couple of lengths on there, it certainly may provide Manila Knight as another one of the smokies.
This is Off the Leash, Gareth Hall, Molly Haynes and George Ferrugia with you. And Molly, just having a look as well, this is a terrific initiative by Sandown and GRV with the Melbourne Cup Community Club Sweep. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Look, I have to agree with you as well, Gareth, that this community sweep is a fantastic idea. Greyhound Clubs Victoria, GRV and Sandown have combined their minds and their money, and they've encouraged regional clubs to join in and barrack for a Melbourne Cup contender. So these guys will randomly draw, or clubs I should say, will randomly draw on a greyhound throughout the Melbourne Cup series. So they watch the greyhounds through the heats, and now they're about to watch them compete in the final. So it's just fantastic that these clubs at the, going for $5,000 or $10,000 in total, but $5,000 to the winner in prize money. None of the eight clubs who are connected to the greyhounds will go home empty-handed, with the greyhounds running fourth to eighth, which the clubs are connected to, taking home $500. But special mention to the Anarchy Football Netball Club, who are connected with a local greyhound in Zipping Sullivan, who jumps from box one. I think it's great that the local football netball club is able to get behind one of their local greyhounds.
All right, then. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, George. Can't wait for the TAB Melbourne Cup night there on Friday night. Just repeating your tips for the bowl treats and your tips for the TAB Melbourne Cup.
Oh, for me, the bowl treats, I'm going Houdini Boy, but Sweet as M is my roughie. And I think Simon Told Helen is just going to be too good and win the Melbourne Cup on Friday night.
Georgie?
Yeah, Simon Told Helen to defeat Tigalong Tonk and Shimmer Shine, and in the bowl treats, Houdini Boy to beat Sunset Burbsky and Manila Knight.
And a couple of the biggest bets there for Friday night, 1,000 at 17 on Hardstyle Rico to win the cup, 500 at 31 on Tommy Shelby to win the cup, and that was before the Perth Cup, and 500 at $26 on Shimmer Shine to win. That was George there. The bowl treats, yeah, I wish. 1,500 at 480 on Houdini Boy, and 100 each way at 50-1 on Sir Truculent there, and also a bet of 530 at 10 on Sunset Burbsky to win at the Bold Trees. Good on you, George, and good on you, Molly.
Thanks,
Gareth.
All right.